In the name of Jesus, amen. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. It might seem strange that Mark mentions Jesus' clothing, but after all, we do know that clothing is important. In the first place, it covers up a lot of things that no one wants to see. In the second place, it covers up things that some people would like to see. Clothing covers less presentable parts, and clothing serves modesty. It's moms and dads who clothe their children, and it's moms and dads who must teach their children modesty. No, you can't dress like you're 24, you're 9. No, you can't wear that to church. You can't even wear that to the beach. If fathers and mothers don't clothe themselves in modesty and teach this to their children, then who will? MTV is ready 24/7 to teach our children how to dress and what lifestyle accompanies their clothing or lack thereof. It may seem strange when Matthew, Mark, and Luke record Jesus' transfiguration that each one specifically mentions Jesus' clothing. Matthew says that Jesus' clothing became white as light. Luke says his clothing suddenly became dazzling white. And Mark says that Jesus' garments became glistening, intensely white, as no launderer on earth could bleach them. In the Transfiguration, Jesus' clothing shows us who he is. This is the divine Son of God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is the righteous, innocent, and blessed Son of the Father. When Jesus is transfigured, even his clothing tells us who he is. Clothing is important. In fact, clothing is deeply theological. When you pull on your clothes every morning, you're doing theology. After all, Adam and Eve had no need for clothing until they rebelled from God. When Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, they immediately saw that they were naked. And today, we are no different than our parents. Sin and nakedness go together. Just like Adam and Eve, we also must be clothed. One of the earliest glimpses of God's great mercy is when he clothes Adam and Eve with the skins of a slain animal. In different form, this same mercy of God continues today as he provides you with clothing and shoes. Like everything else, clothing itself is a gift of God to you. When God first clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of animals, this has a special theological significance. In order to clothe them, there was a great cost. An innocent had to be slain, and blood had to be shed. Only then could Adam and Eve be clothed. Of course, they had tried to clothe themselves. They had tried to hide their nakedness with fig leaves. All it would take was a little Eden breeze to show that a few fig leaves wouldn't quite get the job done. And all it takes is a little gust from God's holy law, and every single one of us stands exposed, naked and sinful before a holy and righteous God. The fig leaves that Adam and Eve had sewn together to hide themselves were insufficient. And likewise, the fig leaves by which we tried to hide ourselves today are equally insufficient. The fig leaves of our own self-made righteousness. our relative goodness, at least in comparison to one another, our resume of good deeds, even our best intentions, all of it fails to cover the wretchedness and nakedness of our sin. A little breeze from God's holy law is all it takes to show that for all our sophistication, we're really no different than Adam and Eve. It is a costly thing for God to clothe sinners. The lesson from Genesis is this: in order to clothe us, the innocent must be slain and blood must be shed. Only then can we be properly clothed. So what or who will be slain for us? What or whose blood will be shed? And how shall we be clothed? When God clothes us, it is a costly thing indeed. For the innocent one who must die is Jesus, and the innocent blood that is shed is His own. And by His death, God clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. Clothing is important. To be clothed in Christ Jesus is most important of all. Maybe you watch the Grammys. The question that always gets asked is, who are you wearing? Armani? Versace? Gucci? Who are you wearing? The Christian could simply say, Jesus. Because God has clothed you with the most important, the most costly of all clothing. He has clothed you with Christ. St. Paul says it this way: all who have been baptized have put on Christ. This means that God Himself has covered over all your sin and your nakedness and your shame. He has hidden it from His own sight by Jesus Christ. And that means that your own righteousness, your own fig leaves, won't do. God has clothed you instead with the righteousness of His Son, wrapped you in the robe of His own Son. To the effect of this, that when God looks at you, He now sees Jesus. When Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell of the transfiguration, each one of them makes special mention of Jesus' clothing, because this is the clothing that God will use to cover sinners, to cover over our nakedness and shame. The robe of Jesus is what covers us, and so it is described as being white as light, dazzling, whiter than any launder could bleach it. It is this robe that Christ has wrapped around you in holy baptism. And so when you come to the biggest event of them all, the great and cosmic judgment of this world, you will arrive to that great event and you'll be wearing Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus. Jesus Himself told a story, and it has something to do with clothing. Jesus told a story of a young man who had rebelled against his father, basically told his father that he wished he was dead. He took his portion of the inheritance and left home so that he could live how he wanted to live and do what he wanted to do. Like every one of us, this young man despised authority. He prided himself on independence. And he wanted to do things his own way. And so, this led him into many and great sins. How does it end for him? Jesus says that the young man squandered all that he had in loose living. He might have partied it all away, gambled some of it, bought prostitutes, or maybe he just spent it foolishly on himself. His great quest for independence resulted in nothing but disaster. The young man found himself at rock bottom, feeding pigs, so poor he wished he could eat their food. He decided to go home. You can imagine that young man. Whatever clothing he had was dirty from working, filthy from walking through the muck, splattered with pig manure. And how would his father react? His father, whom he had hated, would his father be angry or vindictive? When he saw the young man covered in filthiness, would he say, "Serves you right"? Would he treat the young man as he deserved to be treated? When the boy was a long way off, his father saw him. And with gut-wrenching compassion, his father hiked up his robes and sprinted toward his son and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." The father didn't answer him. But instead he interrupted him and he turned to a servant and he said, "Go quickly and bring the best robe and put it on him. For my son was lost, but now he is found. My son was dead, but now he is alive." Each one of us is that young man. And God is our Father. Though you may deserve only wrath, you receive nothing but His mercy. All is forgiven. Even the unforgivable is forgiven. And your Heavenly Father has called for the very best robe, and He has wrapped you in the perfect righteousness of Christ. For you were lost, but now you are found. You were dead, but now you are alive. On the Mount of Transfiguration, what Peter, James, and John saw was the robe of Christ, bright as pure light, dazzling, whiter than anyone could bleach it. This robe has now become yours. But how? There's more for us to consider. Upon the cross, our Lord Jesus was stripped naked. The loincloth that's so often pictured is for piety's sake. He was stripped naked so that sinners might be clothed. There upon the cross, He bears all your nakedness and all your shame so that He might give to you the clothing, the robe of His righteousness. On that dark Friday, Jesus was crucified, and the soldiers stripped Him. And those soldiers divided His garments, and they cast lots for His robe. There's something of deep and profound theological significance here. Jesus is stripped of His clothing, and it's divided amongst sinners. His clothing will literally cover those who crucified Him. We too are those sinners who have crucified Him. And on that dark Friday, God was at work. What He began in Genesis will now be fulfilled. For sinners to be clothed, the innocent one gives His life, and His innocent blood is shed. And with the robe that is skinned from Christ, God fashions clothing for Adam, for Eve, for you and me. Let us rejoice this Transfiguration Sunday that we have been clothed in the splendor of Christ. Let us rejoice with all the saints of God and proclaim with Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.